Last week, we began our new preaching series, Dream Big, with a focus on prayer. We talked about the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and us to pray, and the importance of prayer in this season of dreaming big about what God can do in and through his church here at Mechanic Grove. And today, we're going to have our second message as we talk about the family of faith based on 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. One of the real blessings I have come to appreciate about our church is that we are family. No, we're not all related by blood, but we're all connected by blood, the blood of Jesus. We are a family of faith. And, you know, the idea of family has changed in recent years. The old perception of the nuclear family of a mom and a dad and, two children and a dog, is no longer the norm or the standard, so it seems. Family is kind of whatever you want it to be. We have blended families, we have broken families, and so family has continued to be redefined here in the previous years. And so, but when we read through Scripture, one thing is pretty clear, though. Jesus intended for his church to be family. He intended for his church to be family. We're going to unpack that a little bit here this morning. It is the family of faith. We're going to be reading from the first seven verses of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John was written by the disciple John, that's one of Jesus' disciples, and it's written in sort of later in his life, end of John's life. It's probably about 60 years after his time with Jesus, after his Jesus' death and resurrection. By now, the church has been started, it's beginning to form and come together. And so John writes this letter, and it's not to any specific church. It's to believers everywhere. And he calls out in the opening verses of 1 John chapter 1 of the importance of being the family of faith. So let's read our text, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In verse 1, John affirms that Jesus has always existed from the beginning. And he refers to Jesus as the word of life. In other words, Jesus is the one who gives us life, and he is the one who reveals life to us. We know that life is a gift from God, and we know that our lives are founded and graced by Jesus Christ. He is the word of life. And John then adds that the life of Jesus appeared. We have seen it. We testify to it. We proclaim it to you. And that he has appeared to us. So John is talking about the testimony. But it's interesting here that he says that he uses the word we. In other words, he's talking about the church. That we have seen the Christ. We have experienced the fellowship. We understand what it means to be the family of faith. And so the first point we want to make this morning is this. The church bears testimony of Jesus Christ. The church bears testimony of Jesus Christ. Why do we love our church? Because we bear testimony of Jesus Christ and how he continues to change lives. We are a gathering of people who have been changed by Jesus Christ. For over 127 years now, we have been talking about Jesus, preaching the gospel, teaching the scriptures, focusing on Jesus. Our focus on Jesus becomes our testimony, and we bear testimony of Jesus Christ. See, John is writing to believers primarily to warn them of the dangers of listening to or falling into the trap of false teachers. And that was a problem in the early church, that there were many false teachers out there who were distorting the gospel, who were adding things to the gospel, who were saying it's not enough to simply believe and trust in Jesus Christ, but there were other steps you had to do. And so John is writing and saying, no. The testimony of Jesus is sufficient. We don't need to add anything to it. And so he's encouraging them that Jesus is sufficient. We don't need to add anything more to the gospel. What we love about our church is that we are committed to Jesus Christ, to exalting him in worship and to preaching the gospel from the sacred desk or from the sacred music stand. It doesn't matter. That we continue to teach and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the things I often do back in the office is I like to go back and look through the old picture directories of the church. And it's good to see some of you in much younger years and see how you have changed a little bit. And there are quite a number of directories that have happened over the years, but there was one dating back to the early 1970s. It might be the oldest one that we have. And, you know, I've looked in there, and I know there's lots of people who have gone on to be with the Lord and no longer with us, but what impacted me about that directory from 1972, I believe is the year, is I read on the introductory page from Pastor Earl Ziegler, this is what he said. Brother Earl said, "Here in these pages are the pictures of families who gather together to drink from the springs of living water, so that they can scatter in faithful, effective ministry as servants of God." That's essentially the first point of the message today, is that we bear testimony of Jesus Christ. And Brother Earl, 50 years ago, was saying the same thing. We are families that come together, we worship together, we serve the Lord together, and we go out to bear testimony through service of the glory of God. We are not all related biologically, but we are a spiritual family. And we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We sang that in that song. We're so glad to be a part of the family of God. Not related biologically, but connected and related because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so with each directory, there are pages, not just of our families, and it's great to look at the families, but you know what those directories also have? They have pages of the church being the church, of serving and of worshiping together, of being in a small group and studying God's Word together. That's the testimony of the family of faith. The testimony is that we're all about Jesus Christ all the time. In verse 3, John talks about the fellowship we have with each other and with the Father, Son, and yes, the Holy Spirit. And the point is simply this. Our fellowship as the family of faith is rooted in the Trinity. Our fellowship as the family of faith is rooted in the Trinity. And anytime you bring up the word Trinity, people begin to say, oh no, here we go again. Because it's hard for us to understand the Trinity. I get that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. John is giving us a great insight here in verse 3 that as our fellowship as the family of faith, the church, is possible only because of the fellowship we see in the Trinity. And if you think of the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you see how well they interact with each other, how they have a perfect relationship. Each one acts in accord with the other. There's no disagreement. There is no incompatibility between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Their fellowship is a perfect fellowship. The fellowship that we enjoy as a family of faith, though, rooted in the Trinity, absolutely, but is not perfect. Why? Because we're not perfect. We too easily become self-centered and wanting things our own way. We're so quick to pass judgment or to be critical of someone. What happens is our fellowship is broken. In my 2+ years of serving as your pastor, one of the most common themes that I preached on here is the idea of unity and how important unity is in the body of Christ. Because when we have broken fellowship, you know what? We have disunity in the body. The church ceases to be united. Our testimony to the world is compromised. Tom Rainier wrote a book a number of years ago now entitled Essential Church. And he talked about the value of community in the local church. And this is what he said. He said, There is something that gives the church community definition, structure, and glue. Jesus is the glue. He's the glue. His word gives our churches structure. Jesus holds the members of the body together. He shapes the community of the church. He gives a local congregation form. The issue of church community gets down to the DNA level. And the essential connection of the community must resolve around relationship focused on Jesus Christ. He is the bond and the glue. You know, friends, when we think of the Trinity, we're amazed at the perfect fellowship that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enjoyed. We marvel at it, and we desire for it in our church as well. But as John says, the same fellowship that was in the Trinity is available to the church today. We are united by the bond of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's in our DNA. This idea of fellowship and unity and of being together and being the family of faith, it's in our DNA as the church. John adds in verse 4 he says that we write this to make our joy complete. The true knowledge of Jesus lived out in the community of faith is what makes our joy complete. And then in verses 5 to 6, he talks about the fellowship that we have only because of Christ, the one who brought us from darkness. Jesus is the light, and we place our faith in Him. We begin walking in the light, and we find that we need others in our lives who are walking in the life as well. We need the church. The point we want to make this morning is this. We have fellowship with God only because of Jesus Christ. You and I only have relationship with God because of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished at the cross of Calvary. And so when we think of fellowship and how important that is in the life of the church, what it means to be the family of faith, it always takes us back to Jesus. Is it possible to have good fellowship outside the church? Of course it is. Through family relationships, through athletics, or maybe through business or school or military service. There's no question that fellowship exists in those relationships, in those organizations. But the most meaningful fellowship is available in a church. And it's because of the mutual dedication we have to Jesus Christ. And that's what John is getting at in verses 3 to 7. That's a common goal among believers, and that is to glorify Christ and prepare to be with Him for all eternity. That's what unites us. That's what gives us our sweet, sweet fellowship. John says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. In other words, there's a common sacrifice among us that sometimes we have to give up time or resources or other sacrifices we make to be a part of the family of God. If you think about it, think about those 12 apostles that Jesus selected. The 12 apostles, which John was one of that, was a very diverse group. There was Simon, the zealot. He was a patriot. He was kind of a redneck who hated the Roman government. Matthew was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government. These two were total opposites. One hated Rome, the other worked for Rome, but Jesus brought them together. They enjoyed fellowship. Why? Because of Jesus. Thomas and Peter were opposites as well. Peter was impetuous. He was quick to act, put his foot in his mouth. Thomas was more reserved, more melancholy, more of a deliberate thinker. And yet they enjoyed sweet fellowship. These personalities had to unnerve each other at times, but they were united by a cause bigger than their own egos and personalities, and that is Jesus Christ. And what happens is Jesus took these sort of odd collection of misfits and He turned them into disciples who we read about in the book of Acts were turning the world upside down. That's pretty amazing. The power of fellowship, of being a part of the family of faith. If you think about it, those 12 are really a microcosm of the church. Because you and I are all different, right? Some of us are older, some of us are younger. Some of us love the Eagles. Some of us don't care too much for the Eagles, right? Some of us like vanilla and chocolate ice cream. Others would like to take anything but vanilla and chocolate. We have different likes, different desires, different goals. We have different hobbies that we enjoy. But what unites us is what? The focus and the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's common for people to say today, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Ever heard that phrase? I love Jesus, but I don't got much time for the church. And how can you say you love the head of the church and not the body as well? Others will say, well, I can go on a 40-mile hike or a bike trek, and I can get as much from that as I do from being with God's people on a Sunday morning. And as society changes, and we know that the pandemic certainly changed our society, people are testing the theory that they don't need the church. But friends, to say I don't need the church is to completely miss the purpose of the church. You need the fellowship of other believers to grow. We need to be accountable to each other. We need each other if we're going to continue to walk in the light, as John says here in 1 John chapter 1. And to follow Jesus, the head of the church, requires that we be a part of the body of Christ. And that leads to our last point today. That is that faith in Jesus Christ, it leads us to fellowship with each other. Our faith in Jesus Christ leads us to want to be with one another, to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, John says. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We are the family of God, an imperfect, diverse family that is made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what John is suggesting here is that because of our faith, there is going to be a desire to be with one another, to be in fellowship with each other. Many of you may recall back in 2020 and 2021 when the pandemic was upsetting everything in our society, including church. And many churches, I don't know about Mechanic Grove here, were recording services and there were Zoom meetings and you just couldn't be together. And we were attempting as pastors to try and keep us connected without being with each other. And it was hard. It was hard. It was frustrating, wasn't it? Why? Because we wanted to be together. We wanted the fellowship of the body of Christ. We had lost our fellowship. We tried to stay connected, but we had lost our fellowship. We missed our community. We missed being together. You know, one of my great joys is after service, particularly after the 10:30 service, is to watch people just visit with each other after service. Sit and talk or stand and talk, and whether it's in the gathering area or right here in the sanctuary. And I just marvel at how you're interacting with each other. I'm saying, this is what it means to be part of the family of faith, that we want to be together and we miss being together. And the pandemic made that oh so personal for us. How we missed that fellowship. Last year, you may recall at this time, we were doing our One Another series, and there are actually 59 one another commands in Scripture, like accept one another, love one another, be kind to one another, compassionate toward one another. 59 times we are told to one another each other. How do we do that? We do that in fellowship. We do that in relationship with each other as a part of the family of faith, the family of God. I love my church. I love my church because we are the family of faith, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. And friends, I believe that outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest blessing we have to offer to the community is authentic Christian fellowship. Think about that. Outside of the gospel, the greatest blessing we can give to this community is authentic Christian fellowship. The people can come and know that they're going to be loved and appreciated and cared for within this family of faith. When I was a young pastor at the Martinsburg Church of God, one of the shut-ins that I regularly visited was a lady named Mildred Tipton. She lived in a nursing home, was well in her 90s. And I visited her often. And Mildred, for years, long before I came to the church, was the organist for the church. And each year in the fall of the year, our children's ministry would go to Mildred's room in a nursing home, and they would sing for her. And she would just light up when they did that. And she would tell stories of about the church and how she played the old pump organ before they got the new organ. And she loved the church, and she missed the church. And I remember asking her one time what she missed the most. And I expected her to say, well, I miss playing the organ and for the hymns on Sunday morning for church. That's not what she said. She said she missed her family of faith. She missed the fellowship that she had known with the body of believers for so many years. John is writing to believers both 2,000 years ago and today, and he says, walk in the light. As he is in the light, walk in the light and have fellowship with one another. Let us continue to one another each other as Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We are blessed, my friends, to be a family of faith, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he said, let us continue to encourage one another and build each other up. Let us truly be the family of God, the church we love. I want to close with this. My wife has a dream of going to California to see the giant redwood trees that are out there. The redwoods are hundreds of feet high and so large around the trunk that a family of four holding hands couldn't reach all the way around the base of those trees. And you would think that these huge trees, these massive trees, would have a very extensive root system. But compared to other trees, the redwoods don't have many roots at all. They don't go very deep. Yet those trees have stood for centuries because the roots of the trees are interwoven with each other. They've stood against the storms because they're literally holding each other up. That's a powerful image of what the church should be. That our lives should be intertwined to the point that we are holding each other up. That's what John's calling us to be. The family of faith. Walking in the light, in fellowship with Jesus and each other, and together helping one another become more and more like him. So I'm encouraging you to dream big. Dream big about fellowship opportunities, about what it means to be the family of faith, of how we continue to foster unity in the body of Christ. And may we continue to be the family of faith for the glory of God and the church we love and we serve. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the powerful image of the church. The body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ who are in fellowship together, who walk in the light, who are connected by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we indeed might hold one another up through the storms of life. Help us, Lord, to continue to grow and to be the family of faith, that our testimony to this community might be so bold, so profound, that others will be drawn to the sweet fellowship that we know as the family of faith here at Mechanic Grove. So thank you for your word to us today, Lord. Help us to dream big about how to embrace more fellowship opportunities and to one another each other even more in the years ahead. And may we indeed be the body of Christ at Mechanic Grove that loves and serves you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.